What is up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Tyler O. And today, we are going to talk about some later round wide receiver dart throws. Some guys that, you know, a couple things may need to happen ahead of them on their respective depth charts, but if things break a certain way, they could possibly be impactful pieces of a winning fantasy football lineup. Before we get into that, as always, Tyler, I want to know, how you doing?
Great, man. Football season is upon us. We have football here very shortly. Redraft has already started for me in a couple spots. I'm absolutely thriving. Always a pleasure to be here on the microphone with you, my friend, Herms.
100%, dude. Like, the vibes are just starting to get so good. The fact that we actually have, like, real stuff to talk about and not just, like, hypothetical nonsense arguing with people about, you know, just made-up stuff, it's wonderful. I love that. I love that we have all of these situations to continue to track and follow and see who's winning these position battles, who's working their way up depth charts. And today, like I said up top, we're going to be focusing on some guys that are maybe a little bit further down, but they are pass catchers in offenses that if things go in certain directions, they could be pretty helpful parts of a fantasy lineup. And we're going to start in Chicago with the Bears, a team that, honestly, huge makeover this offseason. Not only did they revamp some of their offensive line, but they also revamped their entire coaching staff. Ben Johnson, play calling extraordinaire, leader of the Detroit Lions offense, coming into town to try to bring some of his magic to Chicago, see if we can unlock Caleb Williams. A lot of people are understandably excited about some of the incumbent names, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, possibly rookie tight end Colston Loveland, but there's another rookie that we have to talk about in this offense, and that is Luther Burden out of Mizzou. Kind of a smaller guy, definitely, you know, a little bit more shifty, but still very speedy. I believe he's currently, you know, dealing with a sort of injury of some sort. I think he missed earlier parts of camp, but whatever. I think he's healthy now. He's back into the fold. You pegged him as a name that could possibly be interesting in 2025, and I'm curious what your perspective is on that and why.
For me, you know, I've been super critical of Burden as a prospect, but his ADP round 12, round 13, it doesn't take much. You're not risking anything to be drafting Luther Burden at this point in time. And it's really tough right now with somebody who does projections to kind of figure out, like, where the target's going to go, as you alluded to. We have DJ Moore. We have DeAndre Swift, Rome Odunze, even Cole Kmet, Colston Loveland. And it's a bit of a headache to kind of sort this out right now. And, you know, fairly because of that, Burden has dropped a bit in drafts to where he's, you know, borderline free. I think it's pretty fair to say round 12, 13, 14 is borderline free. But people aren't expecting anything, and they don't expect him to matter in 2025. And I think where he goes, it's more than worth taking that sort of shot. I think the talent is real. Do I think he's a great wide receiver? I've always been critical of that. Like, I think he is a good talent. I mean, he was a five-star recruit for a reason, but I don't know if he's the best wide receiver. However, he's explosive with the ball in his hands. He can be a screen merchant if he needs to be. He's tough to bring down. He brings a physicality to the slot that Chicago really doesn't have elsewhere. He's dynamic in space, create chunk plays. You know, I think his timing isn't great. I think he needs to build some chemistry. But if things fall the right way, maybe there's an injury that might happen above him. He is in a situation, if this offense takes a step forward, to where he could have a legit role on what I would consider likely an ascending offense by a very creative play caller. So he doesn't need to be the most polished route runner. I do trust Ben Johnson to be able to get him the ball and get the ball in his hands and let him just do what he does. I think he just needs the opportunity. And while the opportunity isn't there right now, here in the end of July, I think he's kind of like almost a wide receiver handcuff in some ways, where he kind of fits the mold of, you know, having the talent. If the opportunity comes, like, you can't just give somebody talent. They got to have it, and he does have it. While the opportunity is not there, it could make its way to Luther Burden. And for me, seeing where he goes in drafts, I look at the talent around him, players you take in round 12 and 13, and it's been a fairly easy click for me. It's somebody I've definitely was out on as a prospect, but I expected the fantasy community to be a little bit more bullish on him. I felt like there's people that were always talking about how good Luther Burden was all over Twitter. You know, where he found it, there was Luther Burden fans everywhere. And I'm sure that hamstring injury that you mentioned, he did just come back to practice. Maybe that makes that ADP rise and I would be out. But right now, man, he's one of those guys where I'm like, sure, I'll click it. I'll bet on the talent, and things fall the right way, I think he could be a contributor.
I feel you, man. And I think one of the really interesting parts about Burden, especially, is just thinking about, you know, kind of like you were alluding to, the sort of role that he could serve functionally within this offense. We think about Ben Johnson and, you know, even just the last stop that he was at with the Detroit Lions. The player, now, I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm about to say, because I'm not saying Luther Burden is Amon-Ra St. Brown, but what Amon-Ra St. Brown did for the Lions offense, kind of in those shorter areas of the field, being somebody that you could quickly get the ball to and let him do things in space, that is kind of logically what Luther Burden does. So from that perspective, I think that could be pretty interesting. But then I guess my biggest issue is just, what do we make of Colston Loveland then? I mean, I assume that his potential receiving responsibilities would also be in that level of the field as well. I don't know. I mean, do you, the Detroit Lions, that's more your account. Do you think, just based off of having watched Ben Johnson more up close and passionately than I ever have, do you think that he would possibly be a little bit more interested in what sort of Colston Loveland brings to the table versus Luther Burden? Or, like, I don't, that part to me, I think, is the thing that I would be most curious about having answered.
To me, it's very fair. I think he drafted Colston Loveland before he drafted Burden, so I think that says something right there. But at the same time, it really just comes down to price with me with Burden. In round 12, mm-hmm. you know, if he was round 8 or 9, even round 10, my interest probably wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be having this conversation. But for me, it's just the price is like, I don't really know what's going to happen. It's a, that kind of like the I don't know, the unknown of things is like, ooh, I could do this, like a rookie. That's what draws people to rookies in the first place, right? There's kind of like this unknown to it where it could go a lot of different ways. The ceiling could be high. The floor could be basement level. We don't really know. But with the price that he goes at in, you know, round 12, 13, man, I find myself intrigued at the price. And I think it really just comes down to the price. I would bet that Colston Loveland is more of a contributor this year. If I had to make a bet, if I had to make a guess, I would say absolutely yes. But again, it just comes down to a cheap piece of an offense that I expect to be good. And I don't think I have much more to say about it.
Oh, fair enough. You know, I think that about covers it for sure. I think that, you know, anybody, hey, if you're looking for just a fun sort of high upside play later on in drafts, Luther Burden is an excellent name to be targeting for that for sure. Another young receiver in the NFL that, like, I don't know, it's a bit of a busy situation in Tampa Bay, sort of like it is with Chicago. There are a lot of names that we are already very familiar with in town. We still love Mike Evans. Whatever Chris Godwin's going to be, you know, coming back from that, you know, fractured ankle, I'm assuming, you know, by the time that, you know, we get to the regular season, he's going to be back to, you know, full health, if he's not already. But then, you know, they drafted Mika Igbuka. They, you know, have Kate Otten in tow as well. But a name that I think gets lost in the shuffle, which is, you know, I'm glad we're bringing him up on the show, is Jalen McMillan. The last year's rookie out of Washington, he was a pretty, you know, hefty target of Michael Penix Jr., now with the Atlanta Falcons during his time there. And we did see McMillan kind of come on a little bit toward the end of the year. He ended up scoring 8 receiving touchdowns. There were definitely usable weeks towards the end of the season where McMillan was a guy that you could pluck off waivers, put into your lineup, and things ended up pretty well. So from that standpoint, I can understand why he would be exciting. Do you have any sort of more insight as to why McMillan is a name that you would be fascinated by in the later rounds of drafts?
Certainly. So I think a big thing for me is earlier this offseason, man, especially before the NFL draft, I was all the way out on Jalen McMillan. His price was way too high. People were thinking he was going to be the next best thing. People were really hyped about him. And then they drafted Emeka Igbuka and things have fallen down. That's the way fantasy works, though, is when the price drops, sometimes you get interested. And that's exactly the situation here. McMillan was the wide receiver 8. Through weeks 14 through 18 last year. Again, small sample size, but we've seen it before. We've seen him be a fantasy contributor. So I think you add in the fact that, okay, we've seen, you know, albeit a small snapshot of him being a fantasy contributor, and now he's going like round 14 of drafts, looking at his ADP over at FTN. And I'm like, dang, like, he's not offering much standalone value right now, just like Luther Burden, but there are paths to relevance here, right? We don't know exactly when Godwin's going to get back, if he's going to look like himself. Like, I'd like to see that contract, right? It made me feel like they felt good about Godwin coming back, but I think he just had like another surgery on his ankle, man, and I'm a little concerned. Evans tweaks his hammy again. Maybe it takes Igbuka a little bit longer to settle in. I don't think that happens. I want to say that, but I've been wrong before. So I just think there's paths to relevance. He's shown that he can do it before, and you can get him in round 14 of drafts. We know this offense can be good. We know Baker Mayfield will push the ball down the field. I just think there is high upside here with McMillan, and it's not fake upside where we're like, we think Luther Burden can have high upside. It's like, no, we've actually seen the upside. He's cheaper than Luther Burden, and he's a great stash. Like, again, I have a tough time saying wide receivers are handcuffs, right? But I do think he's a player that you can sit on your bench, and if someone goes down in front of him, or maybe Igbuka doesn't come on right away, he could do well, and we've seen it. So for me, it really comes down to the price, and we've seen it before, and I find myself easily clicking Jalen McMillan's name as we get towards the back end of our drafts.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I just want to hammer it one more time for listeners. You know, unlike some of the other guys that we're going to be talking about, we've seen this player do it. It's a pretty big thing when we have seen players go out there and prove to us before, hey, if you give me a full complement of snaps or a relatively full complement of work, you know, a sliver of this offense and you let me cook, here's what I can serve up and dish to you. And those were some pretty good points. He did end up being a pretty interesting fantasy asset towards the end of last year. So having that comfort of knowing that this is somebody that has demonstrated to us he can do the thing, that's definitely got to help. We have a couple more names that we're going to discuss before we get out of here, but we have to throw it over to our commercial sponsors for a quick little ad break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast. It is still Herms, it is still Tyler O, and we've still got a couple names to talk about as some later round wide receiver pass catching dart throws in 2025. And we will continue our conversation with a rookie out there in Kansas City, a fourth round pick, Mr. Jalen Royals out of Utah State. Obviously, there's some weird stuff kind of going on with most notably Rashee Rice. I'm sure that, you know, kind of plays into a big part of why this could be intriguing for sure. But, you know, I don't want to do all the speaking for you because clearly you've got some thoughts that you would like to share with us about Jalen Royals. Why are you potentially excited about his upside case?
Well, for starters, he's absolutely free right now. Again, everything comes down to cost for me, but you don't have to pay anything to get Jalen Royals. And I am big picture, more macro, expecting to see a bounce back here from the Chiefs offense. I believe that last year was the exception, not the rule, and the Chiefs will return to being one of the more prolific passing offenses led by arguably the best quarterback in the NFL and Patrick Mahomes. Now, he wasn't a prospect that I necessarily was high on. I was pretty, you know, felt pretty neutral or average, I'd say, about Jalen Royals. But one of the things that I think he does well is, you know, he's kind of got an advanced feel, you know, for finding soft spots in the zone, you know, a skill that can get you on the field early. And that was what Rashee Rice was quite good at, right? At first, it was Travis Kelce, a little washed. I mean, still a fine tight end, right? I think everyone's got him ranked in the top 10. But Rashee Rice facing a likely suspension. While I don't know the details of everything, it seems like the suspension will be fairly lengthy. I keep seeing like between 4 and 8 games. I don't know what's going to happen, but that seems to be the consensus and one that I would agree with. So we got Rashee Rice out for a bit. Kelce, who's aging. And then you have two other good wide receivers, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown. They're more like deep threats on the outside. I do think that there's a world when Jalen Royals could have some real opportunity in the short to intermediate areas of the field. I think it could thrive in that area. I think it's a long shot. Don't get me wrong. But I think as somebody who's absolutely free and you want to just take a chance on a good offense and an unknown, as I've said before, on a rookie that we don't know what's going to happen. Again, I think we're going to need a suspension here from Rashee Rice to be locked in. Maybe another injury, perhaps. But I think grabbing pieces of the Mahomes-led offense is just smart football, and I believe Royals has the tools to matter if the window of opportunity opens for him.
Oh, for sure, and especially because of just, you know, watching the way that this Kansas City offense, you know, tends to operate. They do like to facilitate things, you know, through that shorter part of the field and really just churn and, like, work their way downfield, sustain longer drives. And the most logical sort of player, aside from Rashee Rice and obviously Travis Kelce, on this roster is somebody like Jalen Royals. He does make sense from that sort of schematic standpoint. It could be interesting if there is opportunity for him. The only sort of tricky thing, obviously, you know, people got to remember this Andy Reid offense is pretty tricky for rookie receivers to, you know, pick up on. That is something that, you know, he has noted. Other receivers in the past themselves have noted about this offense. But, you know, it's not to say that a young you know, first year wide receiver in this offense has never done anything. So like there's possibility. There's definitely some intrigue for sure. I share in some of the enthusiasm, especially because he's free. He's basically free. He doesn't cost anything. You never know what could happen. And another name of sort of just fitting that YOLO, you never know what's going to happen thing, we're going to pivot over to tight end for our last player and talk about Harold Fannin Jr. with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, we think about this offense, you know, first we think about David Njoku. Obviously, he's going to be a fixture of everything. But, you know, just outside of Njoku and Jerry Jeudy, there's not a huge, like, name that just, like, jumps out. There's nothing technically stopping them from just running a bunch of 12 personnel and involving Fannin in a sort of complementary fashion with Njoku out on the field. I don't know. They could get nuts. Kevin Stefanski is a pretty good offensive coordinator. He's a pretty creative guy. And, you know, if things break weirdly with Quinshon Judkins still dealing with his off-field issues, you know, if that backfield gets any more diminished than it already is, I question how effectively they're going to be able to run the ball to begin with. So maybe this passing game could be more interesting than it's getting credit for. Why is Fannin somebody that you think people should be at least contemplating later on in drafts?
Yeah, again, not to beat a dead horse here, but he's free. The Browns aren't exactly a juggernaut on offense. Like, I also want to mention that. But, I mean, like, opportunity could be there. And I do think it's going to be tough for him to crack the lineup if Njoku is out there. But if Njoku misses time, I think he would be the next man up. And there has been some whispers or some murmurs of them possibly, as you mentioned, getting him on the field. 12 personnel. You got Njoku, you run Fannin, you get Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, whoever the heck it is. I don't really care. But I think it's worth paying attention to. He's got a sneaky, strong prospect profile, particularly as a pass catcher. Now, he's not going to light the world on fire as a pass blocker. That's always going to be an area of the game where I don't think he's going to ever really thrive, but he's a natural pass catcher. He's got soft hands, fluid movement, lined up all over the field. For me, he showed legit receiving chops, and that matters in fantasy football when you're looking at tight ends. So for me, you know, not a bruiser, but he can get open. He can do work with the ball in his hands after the catch. Again, if Njoku's healthy, it's probably not something I'm interested in. And your regular size redraft leagues, probably not somebody that you should be drafting, that you should just be kind of keeping an eye on. But something happens in Njoku, he is a guy that I would like to spend a lot of my waiver dollars on. Keep the name filed away. He's the kind of player that could be relevant in a hurry if something happens.
Oh, for sure. And I also think one of the interesting things going for not just him, but the Cleveland Browns offense in general is, you know, like, obviously, like, I'm not rooting for anybody to be hurt or anything, but like Kenny Pickett tweaked a little something here and there. And now we're reading that a lot of these, you know, first team snaps are going to Joe Flacco. I think if we had to pick who we prefer out of this bunch, this is something that we talked to with our guest Wyatt Bertolone last week, you know, him also, you know, being big Cleveland Browns guy.
I was about to say, Wyatt talking about the Browns, shocker.
Yeah, who'd have thunk, you know, for sure. And, you know, one of the things that he mentioned, and I think we all kind of settled on, was like, Joe Flacco, like, that's the preference, man. You know, if it's going to be anybody, at least for the bulk of the season, like, nobody's guaranteed to be in this starting job for all 17 games. But if it's going to be somebody, we would at least prefer it to be Flacco. And now he's sort of in this opportunity to take the reins of this and run away with it for sure. So, like, I think that could be kind of cool. I think that's something that people have to focus on. But, you know, that's just a storyline that we're all going to have to follow. That's a bunch of other stuff that we're going to have to keep, you know, just spinning our brain wheels around, keeping up with everything, because that is what this time of year is all about. And that's why we have you covered at FTNFantasy.com. We have all sorts of great content coming out every single day. We have all sorts of great, you know, research tools, different data, different pieces of analytics that you can dive into if you want to. And hey, if you're thinking about signing up for a subscription, go ahead and do so. But before you check out, make sure you input the code CROSSING to get 10% off of an annual subscription. That is code CROSSING, the first word in the name of this podcast, at checkout for 10% off. My name is Herms, his name is Tyler O, and we will be back to talk to you about some more fantasy football stuff next week. Adios! Think about our